Elsa von Freytag-Loringhoven. There are three of Elsa von Freytag-Loringhoven's sculptures on shelves in a corner of the ground floor of the gallery. Each sculpture is placed centrally within its own transparent vitrine square box. There are two on one shelf next to the accessible bathroom, and one on an adjacent wall of the gallery. Enduring ornament. This artwork was produced in 1913 and is labelled in the descriptive text as being a found metal ring. It is titled Enduring Ornament. The ring measures 10.8 centimetres in diameter. This is around the same diameter as an average-sized coffee mug. The circle of the ring is a similar thickness to the circumference of an adult-sized finger. The circle of the ring makes up the majority of the object. Another piece of the ring juts out from the outer side with a narrow screw or nail sticking through the centre of it. If we were to study the ring from a bird's eye view, the piece that juts out and the screw through it make a similar shape to that of the female gender symbol, a circle with a small cross underneath. The vertical, jutting out piece is much wider at around 2 centimetres in width. From a bird's eye view, this piece is rectangular, but when we come to look at the object from standing height, it is clear that the piece itself is circular too. The circle of this piece is at a 90 degree angle to the larger circle. The horizontal screw runs through the centre of the smaller circle. It is around 4.5 centimetres in length and 0.7 centimetres in diameter, with 2 centimetres pointing out of one side of the smaller circle and 1 centimetre pointing out of the other side. Neither the tracks on the screw nor the hole for the screw to go through are visible. Through time, the small circle and the screw at the bottom of the object have rusted together. It is an object that would have some weight to hold. The metal is worn. It has rusted and flaked away in parts. It is predominantly mud brown in colour, with dull, dark areas. There is a subtle and subdued silver sheen across the areas that are not deeply corroded and orange in colour. Elsa von Freytag-Loringhoven, Cathedral. This artwork was produced in 1918. It is titled Cathedral. The piece is made of a wood fragment with wire support and wooden blocks on a wooden base. The artwork is 26.5 centimetres in height, 6.5 centimetres in width, and 4.5 centimetres in depth. This is around the same size as a tall, thin dinner candle placed in a short, stocky candle holder. A thin piece of dark wood protrudes upwards. It is widest near the bottom, around 4 centimetres in width, and gets thinner nearer the top, to around 0.5 centimetres. The piece curves slightly over to our right as we face it. It forms a splintered and soft point over to the right side. Its jagged edges and coarse texture create the silhouette of a topsy-turvy, cartoon-like building. The wood is dark and spiked like the turrets of a medieval castle. The piece of wood is attached to a metal stick, with 5 braces that run across the back of it. One of the braces is visible towards the bottom of the piece, where there is a gap in the wood. The metal stick comes out of the centre of the small piece of wood, which is glued into a thinner, wider piece of wood. Elsa von Freytag-Loringhoven, Earring Object. This artwork was produced in 1918. It is titled Earring Object. The piece is made of a steel watch spring, celluloid, an ebony bead, brass ear screws, plastic screw guards, pearl earrings, rhomboid wire, and a wooden and glass display case. It measures 8.3 centimetres in height and 2.5 centimetres in depth. This is around the same size as the width and depth of a glasses case. The base and cover measure 10.8 centimetres in both height and diameter. This is around the same size as the height and width of an average-sized coffee mug. The base is made out of a dark stained wood. It is circular, with a raised circular lip running around the circumference. An indented circle runs within the circumference, sitting within the inner side of the lip, for the base of the cover to sit within. The middle of the base, which sits underneath the cover, is raised slightly out of the lip. The cover is a domed bell jar made out of glass. Its sides are tall, and the top of the glass is domed. Within the case, there is a long piece of copper-coloured rhomboid wire. It stands towards the back of the display case, attached into the base. The wire is straight and has been bent into a curve near the top, with a small hook at the end. This looks like a shepherd's hook. A delicately spiraled piece of dark-coloured metal hangs from the hook. The metal is a watch spring. The metal is fine and thin in width. The depth is slightly thicker. The circular spring loops around four times inside itself, each loop getting smaller with each one. The outer edge of the spring is tied to the next loop to hold it all together. The smaller inner rings of the spiral are pulled together by the weight of a clip-on earring. The earring has a screw fastening like a mini vise. The jewel of the earring points downwards so that the back of the jewel and the fastening is more prominent. The metal of the earring is a light silver colour, and the spherical jewel is dark blue. The loop of the earring that would wrap under the earlobe when worn has, in this assemblage, got a dark coloured metal triangle hanging from it. The triangle is isosceles, with two equal sides, the left and the right, and a much shorter base. The base hangs low, close to the bottom of the small cabinet. The base is no wider than the width of the spiraled watch spring. Inside the top half of the metal triangle is a much smaller cutout of another isosceles triangle. Through this triangle, there is a small piece of wire that holds onto another clip-on earring that looks to be a pair of the earring above it. In this instance, the jewel points outwards, and it wraps through the small triangular hole. A small, circular, rusted, silver-coloured mirror rests on the base, directly below the hanging object. Its circumference is slightly wider than the width of the hanging objects. Linda Stuppart, Cathedral. This artwork is site-specific and was produced in 2022. It is titled Cathedral. The piece is vast and expansive. It begins on the floor towards the back wall of the ground floor gallery and grows up, 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 to the top of the double-height mezzanine level. On the floor in front of the main bulk of the artwork is a smaller section. This measures around 162 centimetres in height, 117 centimetres in width, and 93 centimetres in depth. The height of this artwork is around 85% of the length of a small double bed. The width of the artwork is around the same width as the width of a small double bed, and the same size in depth as the height of an average height bed headboard. Here, branches are held together by themselves naturally. Some have formed together through their lives post tree or bush. Some are held together with pieces of brown wool. Some pieces of wood have been threaded through by hand. There is bark and moss. Branches point upwards into the gallery space like the untamed whiskers of a cat. The main bulk of the artwork is a few steps behind, resting on the floor and stretching high into the gallery. It measures around 570 centimetres in height, 290 centimetres in width, and 310 centimetres in depth. This is around the same size as a minibus parked on its end. It is a thick mass of branches woven together naturally and with decorative pieces of wool tied throughout in a variety of colours. Grass green, banana yellow, postbox red, splash of milk coffee brown, denim blue. Strings of wool hang down. Some are plaited and spiral around themselves and the branches. Some of the branches are almost thread-like in their thinness, and some are as thick as the pole of a streetlight. There are hundreds of colours of brown, from light through to dark. Leaves, long hairs, and red spray paint decorate the pieces of wood. Flecks of dirt collect around its base. The bricked wall of the gallery space is painted white. Running vertically from the floor to the ceiling is a column of white bricks protruding from the main wall. Metal braces hold the artwork to the wall on both sides of the column. It stretches up into the gallery space and is tied to a hook on the ceiling using green and brown wool. Branches of wood reach forward delicately onto the mezzanine level of the upper floor. Branches hang down and dangle, suspended in the mass of wood, like a network of roots yanked out of the ground and hung on the wall. Standing back from the piece, the shape of the lower section resembles a sort of shallow arch. Here, the branches are much thicker and more trunk-like. Branches shoot off around it. Above the arch, the branches are very thin and wispy, curling upwards like the curvature of a question mark. Thicker, more substantial branches collect together to form a loose triangle at the top point of the question mark curve shape. Takralik Partridge. This artwork was produced in 2021. It is titled Build My Own Home. It is made from canvas, newsprint, tarpaulin, hula hoops, thread, dental floss, synthetic sinew, silver teaspoons, and Tyvek. Four amuti hang from the ceiling of the upper mezzanine level gallery. The amuti is the parka worn by Inuit women of the eastern area of northern Canada. At first glance, the four garments that hang here are all seemingly identical in design. Each of the four amuti are around 180 centimetres in height, 60 centimetres in width, and 65 centimetres in depth, which is around the same size as a freestanding fridge freezer. Each amuti has a huge, oversized hood, held open with a plastic hula hoop inserted into the hem. All four hoods are deep and wide and are attached to the shoulders of the garments. The shoulders are also deep and wide. The fabric folds and creases under the armpits. The sleeves are short. They do not hang flat. They are like mini tunnels pointing downwards to the floor of the gallery. The main torso of each garment is loose and spacious, with a slightly gathered waist. Each fabric folds and creases above the waist and expands outwards below it. There is a split on either side between the front and back, where the side of the outer thighs would be if worn. The front of each garment is cropped in comparison to the back, which hangs down towards the gallery floor. The hem of the front and back are both curved, each shaped like a semicircle. The white Tyvek amuti faces towards the longest wall of the gallery. The tightly spun bond plastic appears starched. The torso is stuffed full of bubble wrap. The arms stick out. The fabric is mostly white, with capital letters printed across it in faded blue. The garment is lined in the same fabric. Most of the words are difficult to read due to the cut of the garment. Moving around the work, the words come together to read, "Never stop improving, TM." The garment looks to be sewn by machine, with black, sweet corn yellow, and poppy red threads. At the front and back are heads of silver-coloured teaspoons sewn onto the central seams. The fluorescent yellow of the hula hoop, sewn around the rim of the hood, is visible through the slightly transparent white fabric. An ammo tee made from newsprint faces the shortest wall of the space. Again, this one is lined in the same material, with a hoop in the hood. Unlike the last, the hoop is not visible through the opaque newsprint. The pages of newsprint are from the New York Times. Each page is whole. The dates on the pages range from Sunday, August 29th, 2021, to Tuesday, August 31st, 2021. The pages are stuck together using transparent sellotape, which gives a thick, starch-like appearance to the garment. The torso is stuffed with bubble wrap and tissue paper. The heads of three gold-coloured teaspoons are sewn into the seam, one at the front in the central seam that runs down the middle of the front panel. At the back of the garment, pointing down to the floor, two are sewn into the same seam, one above the other. The third ammo tee is made from bright IKEA blue woven tarpaulin. It hangs behind the newsprint ammo tee, slightly off to the centre of the room, facing the short wall of the gallery. The three other garments float just above the floor, whereas the tail of this one curls up on the floor. This one has been put together using a combination of hand stitching and machine sewing, using both red and white threads. Bubble wrap and tissue paper are stuffed into the torso of the garment. At the back of the garment, near the bottom, there are two silver-coloured teaspoon heads facing inwards. They are sewn into the central hem at the back. At the front, there is another, which has been sewn into the hem. The fourth ammo tee is close to the entrance of the gallery space, facing the left corner of the room. It is made from canvas, which is the colour of oat milk, an off-white, creamy colour. The fabric appears starched. It is hard and sticks out as if someone is wearing the garment. It has been stuffed with white tissue paper. The edges of the fabric are frayed, and the seams have been both machine sewn and tacked by hand. A buttery yellow thread has been tacked around the cuffs of each sleeve. The outer seam of the arms have been tacked in the same yellow thread too. This ammo tee is lined with the same fabric. At the back of the garment, near the bottom, there are three silver-coloured teaspoon heads facing inwards and downwards. They are sewn into the central hem at the back. At the front, there are two, which have also been sewn into the central hem.